ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. عليكم السلام. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so we are continuing this lesson والحمد لله from المسجد الفارسي in دولة الكويت. And we've reached the section in the last lesson, as we mentioned, where the great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he had said, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم هذه الثلاث المسائل والعمل بهن. So he said, no, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it's obligatory, wajib, upon every Muslim and Muslima to learn these three issues and to act upon them. It's obligatory, wajib upon every Muslim and Muslima to learn these three issues and act upon them. So this is not something, and this is what we mentioned before, that this is not something which is specific to any certain group in the Sharia, but rather every Muslim and Muslima, both male and female, then they are mukhatabin, or the legislation of the Sharia is directed to them both equally. So everything within the Sharia, based in accordance with the texts, everything is for both the men and the women equally, except that which has a specific dalil or proof to show that there is a difference. But as far as how we have to have our i'tiqad, how our belief is, this obligation of establishing tawheed for the sake of Allah, sincerely for Allah, that all of our worship is only for Allah, then this is for males and females equally, that we must establish the salat. And how we establish the salat, then this is the same between men and women, except any specific legislations which might have come based on the texts, if there are any differences. And it is not up to us to imagine or make up differences of how men should pray as opposed to women should pray, or how men should fast or how women should fast, but rather this all goes back to the texts, and we submit to the texts in whatever has been revealed from Allah regarding that. So out of these obligations, we spent the first lesson covering, or the last most recent lesson covering, the first obligation. So the Imam said, Al-Ula, أن الله خلقنا ورزقنا ولم يتركنا هملا بل أرسل إلينا رسولا فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار. والدليل قوله تعالى إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. So the Imam said that, which means that Allah has created us and He provided for us, and He did not leave us heedlessly. Rather, indeed, He sent to us a messenger. So whoever obeyed Him, whoever obeyed the messenger, enters Jannah. And whoever disobeyed the messenger enters the hellfire. And the proof for this is the statement of Allah in that which means, indeed we sent to you all a messenger as a witness over you. Like how we sent to Fir'aun a messenger. So in this verse, it is clearly about the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that indeed we have sent to you all a messenger as a witness upon you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like how we sent to Fir'aun a messenger. So like how Allah sent to Fir'aun the messenger of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, to establish the proofs upon him and to be a witness against him, then indeed likewise Allah sent a messenger to this ummah. فَعَيْصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ. So Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger. Fir'aun disobeyed Musa. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا. So then we took him with a strong taking, or we held him to account due to that in a strong way. So this is the proof which the Imam used. And again, the Imam, he's from the Imams of Ahl Sunnah, from the people of Hadith, who does not speak from his own desires. Rather, if he teaches the people, he teaches them with that which is in accordance with the text, in accordance with the text of the Quran and Sunnah, and he does not speak about Allah without knowledge. So rather, he has based the statement that he made regarding the obligation of obeying the Messenger and the prohibition of disobeying the Messenger and the threat that comes to us if we were to disobey the Messenger, then he has based this upon the clear proofs. And we discussed that in great detail in the last lesson. So in this lesson, we will continue with the second obligation that this great Imam said is obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslima. So he said, Rahimahullah, الثانية أن الله لا يرضى أن يشرك معه أحد في عبادته لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل والدليل قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. So secondly, meaning the second obligation that's obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslima, is that we know that Allah is not pleased that shirk be made with him. Meaning that Allah is not pleased if any partners are associated with him in worship. And yushrik ma'ahu ahadun fi ibadati. That Allah is not pleased that any partners be associated in worship with him in regards to that worship which is legislated. لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل. So let's speak about the first, or the beginning of the sentence first, that Allah لا يرضى. So this great Imam, of course, as we mentioned, he's from the Imams of Ahl Sunnah, and the people of Sunnah, they believe and have Iman in the three categories of Tawheed. So they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one and only Lord and sustainer and creator of all that exists. So this is the Tawheed ur-Rububiyyah. And this is something which is ingrained in the fitrah, in the innate nature that every person from amongst mankind is born with, that they have a natural inclination to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rububiyyah. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he first created Adam, he brought out all of the souls that would exist from mankind, and he made them bear witness. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. And they all bore witness, بَلَى. They all acknowledged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Lord. And then, so during the generations, or as generations pass amongst mankind, then their belief system becomes corrupt. And the shaitan comes to them and causes them to innovate into their religion that which is not from it. So the shaitan comes to the people, comes to mankind, and begins to whisper and introduce into the religion that which was not from it, until the affair reaches the matter of shirk, until the shaitan influences them enough through innovation that they begin associating partners and worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their creator. So indeed Allah, due to his mercy and wisdom and kindness upon mankind, that he sent to them messengers and prophets to guide them to the correct way. Likewise, that which is clear from the belief of Ahl Sunnah, the correct belief, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has Asma'ul Husna wa Sifatul Ulya, that Allah has the most beautiful, perfect names and complete, lofty attributes. And we've discussed this in great detail in a previous lesson, so whoever might have missed that, then they could go back and review that, inshallah. So, from the correct belief, as we mentioned, is that we affirm whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself with, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him with, from these beautiful names and lofty attributes. And likewise, we negate for Allah anything which Allah negated for Himself, or that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam negated for Allah. So this Imam, he affirms and clarifies that we believe that Allah has the attribute of Rida, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with things and He is not pleased with other things. So that from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with is Ta'i. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obeyed, then this is from that which pleases Allah. And from that which earns Allah's ghadab, or anger, or sakhat, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, is shirk. So the Imam emphasizes here, أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى أَن يُشْرَكَ مَعْهُ أَحَدٍ. So Allah is not pleased that shirk be made with Him, that partners are associated with Him, fi ibadati, in worship, ahad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not please that anyone, be worshipped in association with Him, or alongside Him. And this is a doubt that many of the, from both the kuffar and those from the Muslims who are within the Ummah of Dawah, or those who claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they might set up partners with Allah in worship. They'll choose, for example, their sheikh from whatever tariqah or whatever path of Sufiyah they might belong to, and they attribute certain characteristics to him, or certain attributes of rububiyyah even to him, and they will say that this person is special enough to be worshipped alongside Allah, or this person is pious or special or righteous enough that they can be an intercessor for me, or they can intercede with Allah on my behalf. But no, the Imam is bringing great clarity here that Allah is not pleased that anyone be associated as a partner in worship with Him. And then the Imam gets into such great detail here by saying, لَا مَلَكْ مُقَرَّبْ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلْ. So not even a close angel. Not even a close angel. And not even a prophet that was sent. So the Imam didn't suffice by saying an angel. Rather, not even a close angel. So indeed, from the correct belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of Salafiyah, is that we affirm the belief in the angels. And this is from the articles, the six pillars of faith, that we believe and affirm in the angels, and that which has been revealed to us by Allah about the angels. So from those angels are those which have duties and jobs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for. So there are some that come with the rain, and then there are others which write the deeds of mankind. And there are those who bring the risala, bring the revelation from Allah, such as Jibril alayhi salam. And there are those responsible for the mountains, as has come in the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visited by Malakul Jibal. He was visited by the angel of the mountains. So it's not, the Imam has not sufficed by saying an angel. Rather, he said, a malak muqarrab, from those angels that are close with Allah. So from those angels who are the closest to Allah are Jibril alayhi salam, for example, who brings the revelation. Or in the Quran we have the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know about the hamalat al-arsh, those who carry the throne of Allah. We believe and affirm in the throne of Allah, and that there are eight angels who carry this throne. So not even any of these, not even those angels who are the closest to Allah, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far and removed from any of His creation. وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. And not a prophet who was sent. And not a prophet who was sent. So the prophets are, of course, the best of mankind. The prophets are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen out of all of mankind They are the ones who Allah selected to carry His revelation to the people. Those whom Allah has selected to carry His revelation to the people. So these, from these most noble of creation, those angels who are close to Allah, and the best of mankind, even the Ulul Azm, those messengers who are described as being the strong-willed messengers, such as Nuh, Ibrahim, Isa, Musa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, none of them are worthy of being associated in worship along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the proof is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And this is such a short and comprehensive verse, which is something that should be easy for us to memorize, because indeed it is from those great proofs against any type of shirk. So Allah said that, which means, and the masajid, or the places of sujood, are for Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So don't call upon anyone with Allah. Don't call upon anyone with Allah. And Allah emphasizes أَحَدًا. Don't call anyone. Don't call upon anyone along with Allah. So this completely, for those who are sincere, it completely cuts off any doubt that they might have that anyone from amongst mankind, or anyone from amongst the prophets, or anyone from amongst the angels or jinn are worth or have any value or any worth in being worshipped alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has made clear here that none should be called upon along with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this verse, Allah specified, وَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدْ لِلَّهِ, the places of sujood are for Allah, فَلَا تَدُوْ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. So don't call upon anyone with Allah. And in the authentic hadith, which will come later on, where the imam gets into more specifics in regards to dua, is the authentic hadith, is that الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. That dua, it is ibadah, meaning it is from the most foundationally important parts of worship. So even though Allah mentioned that the masajid are for Allah, He didn't suffice and say, so don't pray to anyone else, but rather He kept it more general. فَلَا تَدُوْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. So don't even supplicate. You know, many people, even from amongst the Sufiya, they won't establish the salat. They'll still pray towards the Qibla and they'll say they're praying to Allah, but when they finish their salat, then they'll make dua and make shirk by calling upon others or going to people from mankind that they think can help them with their worldly problems, help them have children, or help them gain riches, or other than that, from the matters that people go for intention of shirk. Likewise, a benefit that we'll mention, that was mentioned by Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah, that he pointed out that this verse about the masajid of Allah, indeed it can have two different meanings. This masajid, where Allah said that the masajid, or the places of sujood, and masjid in the Arabic language means the place of sujood. So it can mean what you know to be the masajid, meaning the building or the area which has been designated for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So this land which Allah is worshipped upon, and the building materials which Allah had created and provided for us, that we may have the buildings like this, then this is commonly known as a masjid. Likewise, the places of sujood can be your own body parts in which you make sujood upon. So the ends of your feet, your knees, the palms of your hand, the part of your face where your forehead is attached to your nose, then all of these are likewise are the masajid. These are the places of the sujood. And whether it is the first meaning or the second meaning, then both of them involve, when one makes shirk with Allah, then both of them involve using Allah's blessings and Allah's creation and His favors upon us in order to make shirk with Him. So if someone comes to a masjid, comes to a building, or comes to a building known as a masjid, then this earth is what Allah has created for us to establish worship for Him alone. And what He has blessed us from, the building materials and the structure that we have to shade us from the sun and protect us from the rain, then this likewise was created for aiding us in worship Allah alone. So for someone to come to one of these places and call upon other than Allah, to worship other than Allah with those blessings which Allah has provided for him, then indeed this is great transgression. Likewise, to use your body, that which Allah has blessed you with, that it may be a vehicle for you, to carry you around, to accomplish what you need to do your work, to take care of your responsibilities, for you to use this body that Allah has blessed you with to establish worship for other than Him, then indeed this is a terrible transgression. So we will suffice that there with the second obligation that the Imam had mentioned, and the next lesson we will continue with the third obligation upon every Muslim and Muslimah. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.